to Illusion of Difference, I as Creator, with your host, Elondis Lake. Our search for unity starts within. Our quest for safety starts within. Once we understand the role difference plays when building community, we can release what we are holding back. We can learn from life's challenges. We can become who we are meant to be.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Elondis and this is Illusion of Difference podcast. I'm here with my guest, Lonnie Douglas, and I am going to bring him in right now. Lonnie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Elondis.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Enjoying all the snow.
It's fun, especially here because we don't get it that often. So it's not like we get it every year. And we're like, oh, God,
yeah,
it's going to snow again. But I want to start off by saying I know you a little, and I'm enjoying getting to know you more. And I want to say that to the people who are listening and to you, you have a big heart, and you show it. You have a very big heart. You're doing work in fair housing, rental rights, and you're doing it as a volunteer. And I want to start by you talking a little bit about what you do to help people stay in their homes and to have dignity when it's time to move into another home that belongs to someone else.
Mm-hmm. Well, so most of my work, so my job, I work as an advocate for people that are in long-term care housing, like nursing homes or adult foster homes or assisted living facilities. And that's what I do for my day job. And as an advocate for residents, I mean, we deal a lot. I mean, those people deal a lot with housing issues because they're at basically the mercy of a for-profit industry. So if you have somebody who's a little difficult at some place or something, the administrator, whoever's running the place, doesn't like somebody, very often they'll try and find a way to evict that person. And in our nursing homes, technically you're not supposed to be able to send somebody out onto the street, but in our assisted living facilities for a lot of our seniors, they can literally put a person out on the street. Usually what they'll do is they'll give them a day or two in a hotel so that they don't have the public doesn't see them setting some senior in a wheelchair out in front of their building on the street corner, but the effect is still the same. They're still on the street. So that's what I do for a living, and then just advocating for the rights of residents and that are in those settings, those care settings, and those where they live. My volunteer work that I do, I am working with a group of people to, on housing issues, particularly related to, the mobile home parks particularly in Lane County, and the hope that we can try to create more of those as resident-owned communities or cooperatives. Because again, it's another area where seniors and low people with low at the bottom, lower scale of the income level, that's where people live. It's supposedly considered some of the most affordable housing, but the reality is, when you move into these mobile home parks, you buy your trailer, and then you're sort of at the mercy of the the owners of these parks, and it's very predatory, and they they will get you in at a good rate for the property underneath your home that you've bought the rent, but then they'll start raising it to the point where people can't afford to pay their rent anymore and end up losing their housing. And so we're hoping that we can turn more of those communities into resident-owned communities where the residents are able to basically set their own rates and such and maintain their housing and such. And then it's not for profit. It's simply they own not only the home but the land under it. And that's how it should be.
Yeah, and what I'm hearing you say right now is sort of like a co-op, and I was introduced to co-ops in Chicago, where condos, you have a board and you're self-governing and you make decisions based on what everybody needs, repairs, things like that. And that's what it sounds sort of like. That you're working to try to expand into trailer parks, that kind of relationship with neighbors and things. Because sometimes I'll say one thing, and this is just my opinion. the co-op, from what I've noticed, maybe about 4 or 5 years that I was dealing with them, I had access to two, and one was very well run, and people did what they were going to do and had the meetings, made decisions, and everything ran smoothly. But the other one was a different group of people on the board, and I think there wasn't a time limit on the second one, so once you got on the board, you were on it, period. And things didn't get fixed. There was a lot of bickering and a lot of complaints, and it was very interesting to me to see the upside and the downside of it. When it works, it really works, and when it doesn't, it can be pretty bad. But the fact that you're doing this voluntarily, I want to raise that out and make that known, because not so much of bringing people to you, just letting people know that there are people out here who turn their head when grandma gets thrown out of assisted living, housing, just on the street, kind of thing. I really didn't know that. When you were talking about it, I hadn't thought about it, but I didn't know that they can literally just put you out if you're in assisted living. Is that correct? Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are some rules, administrative rules and protections for people, but, if they issue an eviction notice, which is what they call a move-out notice, you then have 10 days where you can appeal it, and you can then go before an administrative law judge and plead your case. But most residents don't have they don't have access to legal aid or a lawyer or anything like that. Legal aid in Oregon, most of them don't even, they don't even know that they can appeal. If they get a hold of me, then I can assist them with that. But, I'm just a lay person. I'm not a lawyer. So, and every time I've gone up against a lawyer at an administrative hearing, I've lost, because the lawyers know they know the law and stuff. And it's just a little outclassed, but it's very rare that I end up. Usually it's just another administrator, and they have to show certain things that they've done. But if it's upheld by the administrative law judge, then they can evict that person. And if the person has nowhere to go, no family, and no other facility will take them, then they end up out on the street. And I've seen them I've seen them put people in cabs and send them to the mission, even though they're in wheelchairs and have all these medications and stuff like that. They can't manage and stuff, and the mission can't take care of them. Or put them in a hotel for a couple of days, and then they're out on the street. And usually they end up having some medical emergency or something happens. They end up back in the hospital, and they end up back in the system, back in a nursing home, and they go through the whole cycle again. But their health is probably more damaged, or you know, I mean, sometimes even they end up out on the street and they don't end up anywhere. They just die on the street.
And
that happens. So, yeah,
that's very sobering. That kind of thing happening in this country with all the wealth and all of the resources we have. I can't wrap my mind around it, but I'm trying. I am trying, and I appreciate your help, and I also appreciate your work. So is there anything else you would like to say about what we were just talking about, housing and things like, because I'd like to move in just a little bit into politics.
Yeah, I think just that, you know, when it comes to, so I spent 25 years in the service in the Coast Guard, and I never really thought much about those things while I was in the military. You know, I just served and stuff, and, you know, taking care of our old people and people having a place to live, to me, is just fundamental. When seeing that doesn't happen in our country, it offends my sensibilities. I tend to be more conservative, more right center and such. And I'm just like, you know, that should not be happening in America. I mean, that's what I feel. And that's why I volunteer. And that's why I took the job that I took. Because, you know, I didn't take a job for 3 years after I retired because I didn't need to. And I still don't need to work. It just, this job came up and I was like, wow, this looks like the type of kind of work that I'd like to do. And so I took it, but I think more people need to fix things in our country so that, you know, we don't have our seniors out on the street and, you know, people, you know, freezing in the middle of winter to death. It's just, it's a disgrace. So
yeah,
anyway,
I totally agree. And I am more than interested in doing what I can to help. And one thing I can do is make sure that your contact information is with the show notes. So I'll get that later. All right. So people can reach you or reach your organization. So you touched on the politics a little bit by saying that you're right of center. Right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to go and say that I guess I'm left of center, but I struggle with that because there are parts that I don't agree with. There actually have been times, one or two times, when I've actually voted for a Republican. So I am not one of those diehard our way or no way, and you know, and there are some holdings that I have for my personal life that cannot be identified as left, period. So we talked for a little bit, and I think we could have some interesting conversations about living in a political world. And I'm curious about what kind of thoughts you have about what's happening to the Republican Party, what's happening to the Democratic Party today. It seems as though everybody's like kids in a sand puddle or whatever you call it, sandbox, where they're throwing sand in each other's eyes and saying, no, I didn't do it. Yeah. You did it. And it's not funny, but all right. So What are you thinking along those lines?
Well, I mean, when I look at the political, so I was a Republican. When I was in the service for 25 years in the military, I really didn't vote. I really didn't participate in the political process. I did my job, you know, as a sailor, mm-hmm. I did my job, I did my duty, and I didn't really have any interest in it. It didn't matter to me who the commander in chief was, whether they were a Republican or a Democrat. You know, I still had the same mission to do. And so I didn't really think much about it. Then when I got out, I did register. I was registered as a Republican. I registered as a Democrat so I could vote for Bernie Sanders in the primary. And then I switched back to Republican after, and I had people who were like trying to convince me to run as a PCP for the Democratic Party, and I kept telling them, look, after the primary, I'm going to be a Republican, and they just didn't believe me, and when it was over, I registered back as Republican. Now, since then, recently, I have went unaffiliated because I don't believe that either the Republican or the Democratic Party really represent me, and I think that both parties have become so corrupted by corporations and powerful, wealthy elites that they don't represent working class people, and so I just went unaffiliated. But you know, the things that really the reason I was a Republican or considered myself self-labeled as a conservative was mostly because of, you know, guns, God, and abortion. I mean, that would probably be the things that would be there. Although I don't actually vote when I consider those things. So my when I'm voting, I'm not voting for the person who is speaking to those three categories. Those three categories have nothing. The guns, God, and abortion have nothing to do with my voting. When I vote, I vote on jobs and, you know, kitchen table issues, you know, housing, jobs, you know, medical, you know, the things that affect me and my family. That's what I vote for, because God, as far as I'm concerned, is an American and a, you know, a serviceman and believing in the Constitution. I believe in the separation of church and state. My God is my God. My country is my country. You know, I put God before country. I probably put family before country. But really that's what the things, the kitchen table issues are the things that I really vote on. And those I'm not really right or left on. I'm more, I think, what most working class people are. You know, I believe that if you do an honest day's work, you deserve an honest day's, you know, wage, an honest day's pay. I believe that if you work 40 hours a week, you should be able to, I don't care if you're flipping burgers, if you're working 40 hours a week, you should have a decent, you should be able to take care of yourself and your family. I don't care what the work is. You know, and so those are sort of my, I think what that's what why I self-identify as a conservative, although I've had people tell me that, you know, they don't think I'm a conservative because, you know, because I agree with them on things. But I think that's where the key is too many people in our country have forgotten that you can be on the right and on the left and still agree on key issues. You can be a Democrat or a Republican or an independent and still agree on certain issues. You know, we're, you know, your political ideology, if all you care about is one thing and one thing only, then there's something seriously wrong with you. I mean, there's something wrong with you, because nobody, you know, one thing is, I mean, that's just, it's, I don't know. I think that's just crazy. There's just too many things that we all have to work together to try and fix and make sure that our country works. So
I totally get it. And as far as one issue voting, that is happening more and more and more. as we get older as a country. And it's kind of scary because all someone has to do is put their finger on whatever issue people are revved up about at the time and send out money, give me money, I'll stop whatever it is or I'll start whatever it is that you want. Rather than, like, you and I both, we might differ on the kitchen table issues, how to address them, but there's not, like, what I, when I realized, I said, we need to do a show, maybe a couple of them, when I realized that it was time for that, because I tried to stay away from politics for a long time because people get really mad and just mad. But when we were finding out that there were some things that we agreed on, like I'll out myself having a concealed carry license and that I don't know whether that cancels my imaginary Democrat or liberal card, which I don't have. But and we also agreed on another hot one, which was is abortion. And again, we might differ in the way we address it, but the bottom line, there's a place where we actually were saying kind of the same thing. Like, if I remember correctly, we were talking and I said that I'm totally against abortion for myself. I didn't use it. I didn't need it. I didn't want to. If I had, I would have, if I had to use it, I wouldn't have chosen it. But at the same time, I'm not going to tell another woman that she has to have her, a fetus and bring it to term. I'm not going to do that. I don't I don't feel comfortable doing that, right? So that kind of connection, those kinds of connections where we find out that you're I would look at you and say, she's independent and you're conservative, but look, let's go shoot. Let's go shoot the what do you call them? I don't shoot. The one thing I don't shoot is animals, but the
Beer cans.
Target.
I like to shoot beer cans.
And have some fun, right?
I think I mean it's a good point. Like guns is a really good. There are people who own guns that are both Republicans and Democrats. My uncle's a Democrat, but he'll tell you, you can try and pry my gun from my cold, dead hands. I own guns myself. But I would say that it being in the military, I will tell you, there are some people that should not have a gun. They are too damn stupid to be carrying a firearm. They will shoot their feet off or who knows what. Now, that's different from people's Second Amendment right to bear arms. But along the same lines, the Second Amendment doesn't mean that you get to carry a gun everywhere, every time. I mean, shoot out at the OK Corral, right? Wyatt Earp,
and
Doc Holliday, killed the Clantons because they were going to get their guns because you couldn't bring your gun in town. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you can't own a gun. You just, and so there's common sense things. And I think what happens on the right, what frustrates me about my friends on the right or conservatives is they get so scared. And it always cracks me up that the guns are going to be taken care of. And it torques my nugget. It makes me mad because then they all go out and buy the ammo. And now you can't buy ammo for, cheap, which really irritates me.
That's true.
But
the
reality is, I'm less concerned about that. And what they need to really look at is why people on the left Why do the people that on the left that want to take the guns away, why do they want to take them away? And it's because they're afraid. And it's because they're afraid that somebody's going to go into their kid's school and shoot their kid or somebody in a park, you know. And to me, if you're a gun owner, we have a response, and we believe in the Second Amendment. We want to protect it. We have a responsibility to try to alleviate people's fears. Like,
yes.
We have a responsibility to be responsible, to be adults about this. When I see idiots going to protests with their guns, I'm like, it infuriates me, because that is going to lead to us losing our Second Amendment, because there's no reason. If you're at a protest, you can go and do a pro Second Amendment protest. There's no reason to bring a gun, because the gun is to defend yourself. The gun is if our government ever does become so tyrannical that we think we need to take up arms, then you have your guns. But going to a protest, I mean, this Kyle Rittenhouse kid, you know, if he would not have had his gun there, odds are, you know, nobody would have died. That crazy person may have targeted him, and they may have had a fight, and
they probably
and,
would have had
you know,
a
he
fight.
May have,
maybe.
Yeah, probably been fisticuffs or something like that. But nobody would have died. He was acquitted. What he did was self-defense and such. But you know, there's places and times that you should not bring a gun, because it's going to cause problems. It's going, you know, and I think people just need to be more on the right, need to be smarter about it. And people on the left, you know, our country is becoming more and more authoritarian. It's becoming more and more, we're seeing our rights being taken away. And the people on the left are just as bad now. They're just as bad about taking rights away as the people on the right, the politicians. You know, it's both Republican and Democrat politicians that are taking our rights away. It's not one party or the other. They're really one party. And so the people on the left need to understand that there's going to come a time where they're going to wish that they had a gun, because somebody's going to be coming for them. And it's probably not going to be your redneck neighbor. It's probably going to be the FBI or some agency, you know, Department of Homeland Security or whoever. And you know, what are you going to do when they come from you or your neighbors? So I don't know. That's kind of my thinking on that.
I'm just listening to you, and there are so many different places where I think conservatives and liberals can come together and find intersections where they can work.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're going now, this country is not being managed well.
No.
No matter who's
yeah.
at the top, it's not yep. being managed well. In some areas, it's not being managed at all, because, for instance, take the immigrants coming in from Mexico and places like that. Nobody even knows what's happening to those people. They're still there, but who's managing them? What's happening to them? What's going on there? Nobody knows. Nobody's asking.
Yeah.
And I would throw the press in as well. The press in general, not every journalist, but in general, enough to matter, have gotten lazy. They just run behind these politicians and pick out sound bites and say, politician XYZ believes, says this, and politician XYZ QRS believes this and says this, and that who's going to win. That's what the news is now. Or having debates. And I'm going to throw in when I was in college, I took journalism. I loved it. I wouldn't want to be a journalist now for nothing in the world. But one, they taught the history of journalism and the ethics that went with that. What was the underpin? And I would challenge any journalist now to tell what that is off the cuff without having to do a Google. But the goal was present the news in an unbiased way. And
yeah.
I don't know of any journalist that has a huge audience, and I might be corrected, and I hope I am, because I hope I am wrong. But right now, that's where I am, and that's what we're talking about, who have that kind of not taking sides. It's always it came when they started using the word slant, slanting the news.
Yep.
They slant the news to the right. They slant the news to the left. And that has become more of a magnifone for whatever slant the journalist has. And that's frustrating to me. It really is.
Yeah. Well, and I agree. I mean, I remember as a very young man, you know, like, as a child, actually, because I would watch the news with my mom, and I don't remember when it happened, but there was a point, there was at some point, and I can't remember exactly when it was, the newsmen, when you watch the news, they started all of a sudden making jokes and giving their opinions on things. That was not how the news was when I was young. It was, they were reporting the facts, you know, the Walter Cronkites and the Tom Brokaws, and I can't remember the guys that broke the whole Watergate thing and stuff, but they were reporters. And what we have right now is we don't have reporters, we have pundits. I mean, what is it? Yeah.
Yes.
Tucker Carlson and Rachel Maddow, so Fox News and MSNBC, Tucker Carlson and Rachel Maddow both had lawsuits brought against them, and the judge in both cases dismissed them because they said you can't reasonably expect that what they are presenting is news. It's entertainment. That was a judge making that determination on both the right and the left. And so corporate media, it is not news. The courts have spoken. Those people are not news, and yet the vast majority of our country believes it is, because it's Fox News. You know, CNN is their news networks. So the expectation that most of us have is that what they're providing is news, but it's not. And that's, I think, one of the biggest problems that we have in our country, is because we no longer have real journalism. We don't have independent or unbiased journalism. That is why we are so divided as a country. And the only place, even in most of our, like, you get real reporting now, I think, from independent journalists and some of your alternative media, like things on YouTube or Rockfin or things like that. But most of that is not unbiased either. It may be more factual, but they may use more facts and more verifiable data and stuff like that on some of them. Because I watch some of them, and there's some of them that I like because they do seem to give real facts, but they're still not unbiased by any stretch. That type of news, actual news in America, no longer exists. I can't think of one single You know, I watch the Rubin Report. I watch Jimmy Dore. I watch, you know, some other ones, you know. And they're, I think, present better facts than the corporate media. But, again, they are not unbiased. So when I watch them, I have to recognize their bias so that I can pick the facts out. Most people don't do that.
Yeah,
you
and
know,
then
most
not,
people watch.
Not,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And so, So I agree. I think that the media is, you know, we become a people that my brother talks about this a lot. 1984 in the news talk and how as they're reporting a story in 1984, they're reporting the story about the war with you know. With the Hoobastanks and the you know and the Munchkin people are allies, and now all of a sudden the Hoobastanks are our enemy, and the Munchkin people are you know they switch it around in the middle of the story because there is no real news, and that's really where we are. I couldn't remember the names of the countries, so I just made something up off the top of my head.
You got
head.
Me cracking up here. It doesn't take a lot to crack up, but
good.
But
yeah,
hey,
so I
look
agree.
Where my brain went. My brain went.
Yep.
Oh, thanks. All right.
Yep.
Wait a minute. And then I realized, oh, I was trying to put it on a map.
Where's Munchkin Land? Oh, wait. I just think, you know, and then when you were talking, like, a good thing, too, is, like, the immigrant thing, you know. I know a lot of people who, you know, friends of mine that you know, we're sitting there and they're talking and, you know, we're having conversations and you know, talking about jobs or things like that. And, you know, they'll talk about, you know, immigrants coming and taking our jobs. And that's not the perspective that I have, though. Even though I consider myself a conservative, maybe this comes from being in the military for 25 years and taking my oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States so seriously. I don't look at immigrants coming into America is the problem because we have more than enough work for the people that these people that are on our borders. The problem is the bosses, the companies, the corporations, these big corporations, they want to is making the jobs, you know, cutting back hours on jobs, cutting back wages. So you know, that's where we have a hard time finding work. You're not having a hard time finding a good job because an immigrant took it. You're having a hard time finding a good job because the corporations have gotten rid of all the good jobs. You know, and that's really where the problem comes. I mean, I was just looking at it the other day, which was the poem on the Statue of Liberty, you know, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. You know, and that's what our country, first off, every single one of us that is not a pure blooded Native American are the great granddaughters or grandsons of immigrants. Every one of us. Not a single one of us is indigenous, you know, unless you're Native American. We're not indigenous. Now, some of us, you know, our great-great-great-great-grandparents were brought over here against their will in shackles and chains. I have an ancestor that was an indentured servant and ran away from the people that had him because they kept him. He had like a 4-year contract and at year six, he had to run away from them. You know, it's most, you know, we're all basically come from somewhere else.
Someplace else.
And so,
Yeah, and so it doesn't really bother me. What bothers me, you know, I understand, you know, the need for a country to secure their borders, mm-hmm. but that's really not what the issue. The issue is really the reason people are angry that people are coming across. They say they use the excuse that, well, you know, criminals or terrorists might sneak in. But that's an excuse. The real reason that they're angry is because they think those people are taking the jobs that they should have, and they're not.
No, they're taking a lot of them are taking the jobs that they don't want.
Right. I mean,
the first time I saw someone from my time frame working out in a field was in Massachusetts, and it wasn't that long ago. They were doing tobacco, and it brought chills up and down my spine because it reminded me of the cotton picking people, and that's part of my heritage. So they can't get anyone to do those kinds of things, those kinds of jobs, and that's where a lot of the immigrants end up. Working 24 hours a day almost to barely make enough to feed themselves.
Exactly. And that's where the problem is. They can't find people that they can't find Americans to do those jobs for the exploitative wages and the unsafe working conditions and things like that. If the reality is, if we made it law that it didn't matter that if we made it so that that it didn't matter whether you were born here or whether you were an immigrant, if every single job had a minimum wage and safety standards, I mean, farm work is exempt from overtime. You know, the farm workers right now in Oregon are trying to push something through the legislature to get overtime. And the fact that they don't have it hurts every other worker out there. The reality is people would pick strawberries if you were making $30 an hour picking strawberries. You only had to work, you know, 6 hours a day and you had 30 days of paid vacation. You know, if it was a good job, people would do it.
Yeah.
Now, not old people like me, because it's still hard friggin' work. But, but you know, and
I'm right there with
and
you.
That's where the, yeah, it's all about the quality of jobs. And one thing I believe very, 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 very much so is that there is no such thing as unskilled labor, period.
Mm.
There is no job out there. Everything that we do requires skill. And so somebody, I can tell you right now, you take a doctor and you put him in a busy restaurant during a lunch hour and have him taking orders and stuff. Yeah, good luck with
You'll have
that.
A lot of people
I don't
walking
care
out.
How, yep, I don't care how many hearts he's fixed. I guarantee he messes up my dang my steak and eggs, and he's gonna be in trouble. Just saying, that's our problem is that we're so busy blaming people who have no control over things when the real culprits, the bad people, are these corporations that run our country. It's because that's who runs things. We no longer have, I don't know what to do because, again, I took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. And when I look at our country, I don't see our government following the Constitution anymore. I mean, it's there, but they ignore it. And these corporations, the politicians don't listen to us at all. The idea that we have any choice in an election when it's between the Democrat or the Republican that the corporations and the party elites pick, and if you're not a Democrat or a Republican, you don't get a vote in a primary, which means the vast majority of people who are not registered to vote or are registered but not registered as a Democrat or Republican have no say whatsoever in who is elected because they don't get a vote in a primary. And if they don't get a vote in a primary, that means they don't get to pick the two people that are running. you know?
Yep.
And so
I ran into that years ago and I was called independent because I said, you know, I'm neither one, but I will flip back and forth. So independent seems to fit. They wouldn't, I couldn't vote. I had to pick one.
Yep.
And it was only two, Democrat or Republican. That was it.
Yeah. Exactly.
I bet a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, exactly. And on a local level, even when they have a good example is county commissioners in Lane County is supposed to be – no, wait, city council, I think. No, city council is supposed to be nonpartisan races. But I can tell you each and every one of those city councilors, whether they are a Democrat or Republican.
Mm.
Simple. Can tell you that. Because even though it's supposed to be nonpartisan, it is. The Democratic Party and the Republican Party, they pick who, you know, none of the people on there, I guarantee you, not a single one of them, I'll bet you every one of them is either a Democrat or Republican. Every once in a while, you get an outlier who will run for a local office that will be somebody that's not one of the two parties. But it's rare. I mean, most of the time, that's where the money goes. And that's that, you know, at least on the local level, we do have a chance of changing things, but only if people, you know, pull their head out of their backsides and start working together and not worrying so much about, you know, the R, the D in front of people's names. You know, people need to start just looking at these kitchen table issues. Like I say, you know, jobs in Lane County, jobs, housing, you know, these are the big things that people
medical.
Have to worry about.
Getting
medical
care.
You know, if you're voting based on, you're voting based on guns or abortion, you're not a serious person. You're not intelligent enough to have a serious conversation, whether you're on the right or the left.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's sad because a lot of us are either or, you know.
Yeah.
It's sad because that's the way this country has gone. We're running a little slow. We got about maybe, I'll say 9 more minutes. And I want to ask you real quick. What do you think about January 6th and the threat of it might happening again? I think I know, but I'd like to hear your words.
Right. So I think everybody who's calling January 6th an insurrection or a coup, attempted coup d'etat is an idiot. I'm just like, what it was a protest that got out of hand. We had there were all through the summer, there were Black Lives Matter protests and all kinds of protests that caused just as much, if not more, property damage. We had people die, things like that. And what infuriates me about this is on the right and the left, during that summer, all the people on the right, all my Republican friends, all those people were like, look at those people. They're terrorists. They should be sent to Guantanamo Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but then all of a sudden on January 6th, when they did exactly the same thing, then they were exercising their rights as Americans.
Right.
And on the left, it's the same thing. They were all like during the Black Lives Matter protests and all these different protests, they were like, you know, they were – protesting there and they were justifying everything that was happening. But then when January 6th happened, all of a sudden those people were insurrectionists. So on the left, you're a terrorist. On the right, you're an insurrectionist. And the reality is we protest in this country. I don't believe in protest like zones or anything like that. I do believe I am I'm a bit of a capitalist. I don't think you should be, you know, wrecking people's businesses and stuff. But, you know, if it happens, it happens. But, I mean, you know, going in and stopping, I know people in Eugene who brag about going up to the state capitol and stopping while the legislature was in session. They stopped it by pounding on the wall and stuff like that. They stopped the legislature for 20 minutes from doing its business. And they brag about that. January 6th, those people went in to stop them from doing their business. Honestly, they wanted the people to vote and not ratify the election. We have our elections are broken. The 2020 election, it was rigged, just like the 2016 election was rigged, and the one before that, and the one before that. Every single election we have is rigged because it only gives us two people to choose from, and they're not the people that most Americans would pick. But in 2016, we had people saying, Trump's not my president. It was a rigged election. And all of a sudden, 2020, same thing started. Those arguments about ballots and all that, all the way back to the hanging chads, every single election, it's the same. The same argument, whichever side loses, claims that it was not a valid election. And so what we're seeing here is people just sort of, whether they're on the right or the left, they look at the other side who's doing exactly what they did, for different reasons, obviously, and they point their fingers and they say, oh, they're terrorists, they're insurrectionists. No, they're your neighbors, they're Americans who are exercising their right to protest and are just unhappy with their government. And what we should really be asking each other, all of ourselves, is why are these two sides upset? Because the reasons they're upset are really not that different. They're upset. I mean, the Women's March, all those women, my mom was part of it. She went to the Women's March in D.C. in 2016 when Trump was, elected. She went to D.C. with my sister, and they protested. Now, they didn't break into Congress or anything, but they did break a lot of windows and stuff downtown and stuff. I remember, the J20 or the people that they arrested for that and stuff. And the media loves to hype it up. The media on the right hypes up the stuff in Portland or the stuff in, those places, other places where they had the protests. And the media on the left hypes up January 6th. I mean, I want to feel bad for the politicians that were in there because they were afraid, and I'm sure their fear was very real. I don't think people were trying to murder politicians and stuff, but I do understand why they would be afraid. If you're in a building that's being assaulted and windows are being broken and people are running through the halls yelling and screaming and stuff, it would be terrifying.
And some people did get killed.
They had only one person, which was the protester that was shot. The police officer, the other people that died, there were two people that after the fact committed suicide. There was a person after the fact who had a heart attack. There was actually only one, when you really look into it, one death, and it was the woman, female protester, that was shot. But I mean, even that there, I'm like, I saw a video of police knocking this old during the summer during one of the protests. I saw a police officer pushes this old guy over and he falls back and whacks his head. And bad, and that can kill a person. And I was like, I see stuff like that, and it just infuriates me. I did 20. One of my things in the Coast Guard was maritime law enforcement, and the things that I see our police doing nowadays infuriate me. It used to be, in order to pull your gun and shoot somebody, you had to have intent, opportunity, and ability. Those three things had to be present. Now, all a police officer has to say is, I was afraid for my life. That tells me that our police officers today are a bunch of pansies. Because back in the day, that wouldn't have held. If I'd have said that when I was doing a boarding in the Coast Guard, it wouldn't have held water at all. Intent, opportunity, and ability. We've basically lowered the bar and said, well, if you're a scaredy cat, and I'm trying not to swear, I would say something else, but I don't want to swear. So if you're a pansy or a scaredy cat, you know, then you can shoot somebody. If you're afraid for your life, and you know, and I'm sorry, but if a guy's running away from you and you're afraid for your life, then
there's something wrong.
There's something wrong. You know.
There's something wrong.
Anyway.
And they don't need to have a gun. So on that note, we're getting close. And I want to take the time to thank you for being here and sharing your thoughts. And I look forward to the possibility of doing more shows like this. I think we could have some good discussion on a lot of different topics. So, Lonnie, thank you for being here. And I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was fun. All right.
Yes, it was. All right.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.